It's rally weekend. Let's go! So the song that we just sang is about revival, and Jacob prayed about it too at the end. Whatever God says is done, and whatever God touches lives, comes to life. And so this is a not just rally Sunday, it's revival Sunday, which leads us right back into our Bible reading for today, which says, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. What are you enthusiastic about? For some, it's college football. For others, like me, it's more pro football or whatever season it is, some other sport. For those of us who are sports fans, a lot of you aren't sports fans. For you, it's some other passion, some other thing that gets you enthusiastic. You're like, oh, that's my hobby. That's my thing. That's my pastime. That's the thing I really pour into. How far down the list do we have to go before we get to, I'm really passionate and enthusiastic about serving the Lord? About working hard and serving the Lord enthusiastically. It's one of the seven habits of highly effective Christians, and we're in this series on this topic. This is week three, so let's do a quick review. The first week I preached on following Jesus, not the crowd, and that comes from Romans 12. You notice all these habits are coming from one chapter of the Bible, Romans 12. It's because Romans 12 is the best and most succinct and life-changing and powerful and faithful chapter in the whole Bible of what the Christian life is supposed to look like. It's a reflection, a description of what we were made for. Every single one of us, you can be denial. You and I can be in denial on that. We can say, oh, that's not me. But it's all of us. We don't get to vote on it because God's the one who made us, and he made us for this. He made us to live the life that's described in Romans 12. And when we don't, when we go our own way, when we follow the crowd instead of Jesus, or when it's all about us instead of us getting over ourselves, as Justin preached about last week so faithfully and powerfully, then we're going to lose our rhythm. So, but one thing leads to another in Romans 12, and one thing leads to another in this series. I want to be really clear, theologically, this is really important. Because there's this heresy called works righteousness that's been around for centuries, which suggests that the way you get right with God is you have to do a bunch of things. That there's a whole list of gotta do's, that you gotta follow Jesus, not the crowd. You gotta get over yourself. You gotta find God's rhythm. You gotta pray. You gotta worship. You gotta serve in a certain way. You gotta do certain things. You gotta go on mission trips. You gotta be an usher. You gotta be a Sunday school teacher. You gotta be nice to people. You gotta be kind. You gotta. You gotta do all these things. You gotta practice the spiritual disciplines. You have to mature in your faith. You gotta. And if you do enough of that, maybe you'll earn some points up on the giant heavenly scoreboard, and when it comes to judgment day, you'll get in. It's works righteousness. It's a heresy, which means it's not biblical. It's not true. It's not what Christianity is according to the timeless truth and the revelation of God's word. The way we get saved, the way we stand right before a holy God, isn't about what we got to do. It's about what Christ has done for us through his death and resurrection on the cross. It's about God's grace being amazing. And so when we're talking about seven habits of highly effective Christians, I want to make sure you aren't misled, because there's a lot of misleading teaching that's out there amongst Christians, teachers, Bible teachers, pastors that's out there. Be careful that you aren't misled, that people will start to imply, these teachers and preachers, that you got to do all these things in order to make sure that you're saved, that you stand right before a holy God. No. Romans 12, Paul will be very clear on this. These are the things we do because we're saved. These are the things we do because we've been set free from the prison of our sin. These are the things that we naturally are the outflow of God setting us free, of God's grace being amazing and us realizing that. And once we do, now we're going to hit our stride. Now we're going to find our rhythm. Now we're going to get our step in sync with what we were created for. We're going to start to live into the rhythm into which we were created. But it's so easy to lose our rhythm. I'll lead the confession today. There have been seasons in my life where I feel totally out of rhythm, spiritually. Sometimes it's because I'm trying so hard to get in step with the world, which is not what I was made for. I was made to swim upstream in a downstream world, if you remember that metaphor from the sermon a couple of weeks. Sometimes it's because I can't get over myself. Sometimes it might be something else. And so I get out of rhythm with God, with the only one who can give me that peace that passes all human understanding, that untouchable joy, that purpose in life, that mission, that meaning. Accept no substitutes. There isn't anything that's even close to a close second that's adequate to help us find our rhythm in life. It's not about getting in rhythm with this world. It's about getting in rhythm with God. But it's so easy to get out of rhythm. It's so easy to have, maybe you're in a season like that right now. Maybe you feel like, I used to really be passionate about my faith. I used to be able to worship God enthusiastically and serve him enthusiastically. That first verse we looked at from Romans 12, 11. But if I'm telling the truth, maybe you're going to say to yourself right now, it's just not there. Like it used to be once upon a time. I still believe in God and stuff. It's just the zeal is gone. The passion is gone. The enthusiasm is gone. The joy. The peace. And so when we get like that, we're out of step. We're out of rhythm. And metaphorically, it almost feels like Elaine trying to dance in Seinfeld. Take a look.
All right, who's dancing? Come on, who's dancing? You want me to get it started? I'll get it started.
Fancy Moses.
Well, I have lost complete control of my staff. Why did I let George go to that party? I mean, we were having so much fun. I mean, we were whining, we were dining, we were dancing. What?
This, you need that.
It's dancing.
No, that ain't dancing, Sally.
It's fine.
You stink.
He doesn't know what he's talking about. Jerry? Jerry? I'm a good dancer, right?
I forgot to make my bed.
So Elaine has other gifts, but dancing isn't one of them. And she's out of rhythm, she's out of step, she's out of sequence. And that's the question I have for you today. Have you lost your rhythm in life? All of Elaine's friends can see it. Maybe some of your friends can see it too, but you're kind of in denial, or I could be in denial. And they want to tell you like what Kramer did not hesitate to say right away. And what Jerry was much more hesitant to say, but ultimately admitted, that's not your thing. You could find your rhythm though. It's not as hard as you think, biblically speaking. So let's let the Bible be our guide. Here's why it's so easy to lose our rhythm, or why we feel out of step with this world. Because we don't belong to the world, Jesus says. Christians do not belong to the world. That's Jesus himself. So quit trying to fit in. Quit trying to bring your Christianity in and just, you know, mold it into the ways and the patterns of this world. It's contrary. It doesn't go that way. You're going to have to choose. The wide path that the Bible says elsewhere that it seems like almost everybody else takes, or the narrow path. And the narrow path is harder, and it requires more sacrifice. But the view, and the purpose, and the untouchable joy, and the peace, and the rhythm, and never once will you regret and think, well, I'm just wasting my time on this narrow path. This isn't what I was made for. When you're on it, you know, this is what I was made for. It's not easy, but it's so much better. That's the thing about finding God's rhythm. The more important becomes more important than the important. The great becomes more important than the good. We start to realize what we were made for. Christians don't belong to the world. It's why it's so easy. If your goal is to get in rhythm with the world, first of all, even if you get in rhythm with the world, it's not going to satisfy your soul. But secondly, if you do, you're still going to be lacking that rhythm with God. And God's the one who made us. We don't get to vote on that. Jesus, though, this is dangerous. No, go back. This is dangerous because it's a slippery slope. Jesus says, you don't belong to the world, and the slippery slope is then for Christians to say what far too many Christians in our culture say today. Yeah, to heck with the world. Who cares about them? They're going to get theirs, and then sometimes Christians, and this is even taught from pulpits, sometimes Christians are like, that's going to be great when they get theirs. They're going to see when it's all said and done that they chose the wrong pathway, they chose the wrong road. That's going to be awesome. Then we're going to get rewarded, and they're finally going to be humbled, and that's going to be great. Does that sound like Jesus to you? The reason it doesn't sound like Jesus to you is because that isn't Jesus. If you read the Gospels, you're shocked to discover at almost every turn, Jesus is hanging out with the people the religious people don't want him to hang out with. The people who are sick, the people who are lost, the people who have lost their rhythm, the people who are wandering, the people who are sinners, notorious sinners even, the Bible says. And then Jesus isn't hanging out with them to endorse their behavior. He isn't hanging out with them because he wants to be like them, because he's trying to fit in with the world. He's hanging out with them because he wants to invite them to a better pathway. He wants to invite them to find their rhythm. So we can't say, well, since we don't belong to the world, to heck with the world. You know, you watch the news, you see how terrible things are, another school shooting in Georgia, and it's just becoming routine. And that's just, this world is broken. It's completely messed up, and that's just one of many examples. It's so easy to find out what's going on in the world and just, I don't get it. It's nonsensical. It doesn't add up anymore. And sometimes people can look at us and say the same thing. I don't get it. What you're doing is nonsensical. It doesn't add up. You're hurting yourself. You're hurting other people. You're out of step with the God who made you and loves you. Christians don't belong to the world, Jesus says, but you still have a mission into it. There's a sleeping giant in this world of almost 3 billion people who call themselves Christians, who are sitting on the sidelines of Christianity and ignoring the wake-up call and hitting the spiritual snooze button. With all the love in my heart, I got to ask you today, is that you? I'm just here to observe Christianity. I'm just here to, you know, evaluate it, think about it, ponder it, consider it. No, you were made to live it out, to do it. Because God's grace is amazing for you and you're saved, you've been set free from the prison of sin, and so now it's time to live out that new life. In Romans 12, and these 7 habits of highly effective Christians get us on that pathway. The thing about habits is if you do something 6 or 7 times in a row consistently, it's going to be harder to stop. And that could be for good habits or bad habits. Are you out of the habit of weekly worship? Commit to doing it for 6 or 7 weeks in a row. And it'll just become a part of your rhythm, part of your routine, part of what God made you for. I'll say more about that in just a minute. But you can get into the bad habit of saying, I'll just go when I can, when we don't have a soccer tournament, when we don't have a game, when we don't have company over, when I don't feel like going. I'll just do that. When I could just watch it online in my pajamas, even though I live a par 5 away from the church. It's better when you're here. It's like a football game. You can watch it on TV, but it's better here in person. It's better sitting in the body of Christ, experiencing it together, letting the Spirit wave over us. I'm not saying that online you can't experience that. I'm so glad you're with us. I'm so glad you're doing this. But if you can get here, get here. Show up. In the same way that if I had tickets for the Bears game today, I'd go. Instead of just, no, I'd preach, actually. I'd be here and I'd give them away, but if it was Sunday night, I'd go. Instead of just watching it on TV, it's better to be there. It's better to be in person. Better to experience in the holy ground of God's house. Look, you don't belong to the world. That's why you feel out of step so often. That's okay, because I'm sending you into the world, actually, not to be dismissive of the world and say to heck with them, but to actually be the body of Christ for them, to carry out the mission. Easy to get lost, easy to lose our rhythm, easy to feel broken, relationships break, dreams disappear, they get squelched. And into that world, here's what Scripture says. Next screen, please. Healthy people don't need a doctor, Jesus says. Sick people do. I didn't come for the people who don't think they need a Savior. I came for those who are sinners and know that they are. And my followers should be about the same mission. That we aren't here just to form holy huddles and talk about how superior we are spiritually to other people. In fact, there's nothing in the Bible to suggest we are made for that at all. I mean, it's good to have Bible studies and groups and fellowship and encouragement and accountability. Do it for those reasons. Don't do it because you think you're better than people who don't do Bible studies or small groups in a church. We were made to serve. We were made to learn what the Bible says, and if we do, it's going to tell us, get going. Rise up, church of nearly 3 billion people. Rise up. Rise from the dead, the Bible says later in the New Testament, and Christ will shine his light upon you. Awake, O sleeper. Rise up. Rally. Revive. Let's go. Because as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you to go to these sick people. This is our mission, to reach out to the world around us and share the everlasting love of Jesus Christ. Not as just confirmation for people who already believe it, as good news for people who don't know or have forgotten or have gotten out of step with God, to love them enough to try to connect the dots between the God who made them and has a life-saving, amazing grace for them that could transform their lives for now and forever, just as he does for us. So if you feel like you're lost and wandering, good news for you. Here comes God's amazing grace to set you free. Here comes the instructions in Romans 12 on how to live these habits of a highly effective Christian life, to discover what you were made for. It's not that far away from you. But it's always going to include mission. It's never going to be about me. It's never going to be about you. It's going to be about what God can do through us collectively as the body of Christ, which is why this sleeping giant of a church, nearly 3 billion people, is still the hope of the world. Flawed and imperfect and sinful as Lutheran Church of Hope is and every other congregation on planet Earth, it's still God's plan A and he doesn't have a plan B. So here's how we find God's rhythm. Number one, we come to Jesus when we're broken. Jesus puts it this way: are you weighed down by the burdens of brokenness? Did you just get a diagnosis that blew you away from a doctor? Or worse, did a loved one get that diagnosis? Are you grieving and mourning the death of a loved one? As I know hundreds of you are who can hear my voice right now. I can't remember the last week we didn't have a funeral in this church. There's a lot of brokenness. There's a lot of heartache. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of sorrow and suffering. Jesus doesn't say, okay, well, when you climb out of that ditch, look me up. Check in with me and I'll try to get you back in rhythm then. I'll help you find your step. No, if you look closely, you'll see Jesus is in the ditch with you, jumping right down into the mud, into the dirt, into the mess, into the brokenness. Come to me, Jesus says. All you who are weary and are heavy burdened, who are carrying the heavy baggage of the pain and suffering of this world, which we all do in certain seasons of our life, and I will give you rest. Rather than just teach you this verse, I want to invite you to experience it. Before we go any further, listen to the timeless truth of God's word. Come to me. Not just the people around you, you. Whatever pain you're carrying, whatever sorrow you're carrying, whatever brokenness you've got, come. Come to me and accept no substitutes, Jesus says. Don't come to the pastors. Don't come to the band. Come to the one who can heal you. Come to me, Jesus says. And I'll give you rest. For those of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, I'll give you rest. He goes on to say, next verse, for my yoke, you know, the thing you put over the oxen when you're plowing, my heavy yoke is actually easy, and my burden is light. Let that wave of God's comfort enter into your heart and soul. Come to me, Jesus says. Let me fill you with my peace, my presence. You're never alone. Even when you feel like no one cares, the only one who ultimately counts cares more than you'll ever be able to measure. Come to me, Jesus says. Stop trying to fix everything on your own. Bring it to me. Talk to me about it. Pray to me. Trust me. Have faith in me. Know that what you're dealing with is temporary. Relative to eternity, it isn't going to last. What's permanent is my relationship with you. What's permanent is my untouchable joy for you. What's permanent is my peace. What's permanent is my presence. That's going to last. Your sorrow, your suffering, your brokenness, your pain, your burden, your weights, I got you. I've got them. I'll take them. Come to me. That's how we find God's rhythm for our life again. We don't let our sorrows keep us from. We don't say, once I get over this tough season of life, then maybe I'll find my rhythm again. No, especially in the tough seasons of life. God's there to give, hey, I got you. This isn't going to last. I promise you, this isn't going to last. But we will. God says, our relationship, your faith will last. Your hope in me will last. Your love, my love for you, your love for me, your love for others, my love through you to others, you carrying out the mission, that's going to last. That's what you and I were made for. Is that the way you're living? Come to me. The second part of finding God's rhythm for life is pretty similar. It's get some rest. Turn to the person next to you, wherever you are, online at a soccer tournament, here in the room, another campus or local site. Turn to that person. You've been probably trying to say this in a million different ways for a long time. Say, get some rest. You need some rest. Some of you are like, yes, thank you. That's what I need. I'm so glad I came to church today. I need some rest. Most Americans do. We wear busyness like a badge of honor. When's the last time you heard anybody brag about, I'm not busy at all? I got nothing going on. Nobody brags about that. If that's me, I don't tell anybody. That's embarrassing. Are you free tomorrow? Oh, I'm free tomorrow, the next day, the day after that, and for the next 4 months, every day. I got nothing. No, you know what we brag about? Oh, I wish I could. I'm so busy. You think you're busy? Wait till I show you my schedule. Take a look at this. I don't even know when I'm supposed to breathe. I'm so busy. Get some rest. You were made for more than just always being a busybody, always working. Do not misunderstand me. Remember that first verse we started with today, Romans 12:11. Don't be lazy. If I ever feel the need to preach into this community that you're being too lazy, I'll do it. I'm not doing that today. We don't have a laziness problem in this community. There are exceptions to the rule. If you're lazy, I have a word from the Lord from you. Stop it. Stop being lazy. Get off your spiritual bum and get moving, right? Or get off your bum anyway and get moving. But most of us don't have a lazy problem. We have a workaholic problem. Or we tend toward it. And what's amazing to me is when science catches up with the timeless truth of God's word, this isn't just about, hey, you should go to church, or you should pray, or you should read the Bible, or you should have a day dedicated to God just because it'd be good for you. This is the rhythm into which God created you. 6 days, God created everything, Genesis 1 says. On the seventh day, what did God do? God rested, and then he created you into that rhythm. And you and I can deny it, and boy, do we. We wink at the commandment that says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Like, oh, that's not really that important of a one. That's for slackers. That's for people who don't have a lot going on. But not for me. I'm just too busy. I just got too much going on. If you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. And your schedule needs to change. If you're too busy for worship every week, you're too busy. And your schedule needs to change. When we get too busy for God, we lose our rhythm fast, which is why God put it in his top 10 list. Remember to observe the Sabbath day. Sabbath in Hebrew literally means rest. Remember to have a rest day by keeping it holy. So when the science catches up to the timeless truth of God's word, all the research tells us, that's this fascinating thing we discovered as we did blue zones, or as we discovered what makes people happy, what makes them healthy, what makes them live longer. this side of heaven. Going to church every week? Every week? Making it a priority? Yeah. Study after study after study after study with no exceptions. It says it's one of the keys to happiness, health, and longevity. Doing what you're doing right now. Making time for worship. Having a rest day. This is spiritual rest for our souls. It's renewing. It reminds us there's a God, there's us. Here's how that relationship works. We get to do it in the fellowship of sisters and brothers in Christ. We might even make some friends before or after a service. We might discover sisters and brothers in Christ. We might discover the truth that God has a place for you here, that God has a family for you here, an extended family, a bigger family. God has a purpose for you. God has a mission for you. God reminds you to love your family. God reminds you to stay married. God reminds you to keep your vows and your commitments. That's good for your families. And if it's good for your families, it's going to be good for your happiness and your health and your longevity. God reminds you that you were made for more than just living for whatever the world's living for. This is why it helps. This is why it changes things. And the second thing that science is discovering, and this is kind of surprising, is you can actually be more productive, more efficient, and get more work done if you work 6 days and then take a break on the seventh. Have a rest day. Have a day when you close your laptop, if laptop means work for you. The world and your work could probably survive for a day without you checking every minute, just like that. If I don't get back to you on my Sabbath day right away when you send me a message, I'm not going to apologize. I need a rest day. Jesus needed rest days. God in human form surprised his disciples once in a while, who were probably workaholics, small business owners, fishermen, tax collectors. And Jesus is like, hey, I'm going to go take a day off. I'm going to retreat. I'm going to go have some quiet time with God. I'm going to go be still in the presence of God and know that there is a God again. I'm going to worship. I'm going to pray. I'm going to do the things that renew my soul, that renew my body, that renew my mind. I'm going to shut off the work. One of the great things about a digital revolution is we have access to so many communication things so often. One of the worst things about it is it's hard to stop working. It's hard to shut it off. You need some boundaries. You need a day. You need a break. When you work, work hard. God wants you to work hard. Give Jesus your best. That's what I say every Tuesday morning here at our all-staff meetings for all the campuses. At the end of the meeting, I say, be careful out there. Nod to Hill Street Blues. I don't know why I do that. I keep doing that. And be careful out there and give Jesus your best, which is what Romans 12 is ultimately pointing us to. Don't be lazy. Serve God with enthusiasm. Give him your best. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. So bring your burdens to God. Come to me, Jesus says. Get some holy rest every week. And fire up your faith. Serve God with enthusiasm. My wife and I subscribe to HBO, or it's called Max, a trial subscription, for one reason. Because they're highlighting the Chicago Bears during preseason in a documentary called Hard Knocks. This is Ian Wheeler. You probably never heard of him. He wasn't a big famous college football player. He didn't have a great stat line. It was good. It wasn't great. He didn't even start in high school, I think, until his senior year. But God made him really fast. He didn't get drafted by any team, so after the draft, the Bears said, hey, we'll bring you in as an undrafted free agent, which usually means no chance of making the team. We have you here to fill spots during practice so our superstars don't get hurt and so that we can run all the drills. But if you really impress us, maybe we'll give you a closer look, but you're undrafted. We didn't even think enough of you to pick you in the draft. But they brought Ian Wheeler, and every team does this, a bunch of other players in for training camp, and he runs like a 4.3 something 40, and if you know anything about that, that's like elite speed. He's undersized, and this guy right over here is Chad Morton. He's the running backs coach for the Bears. And it's a weird picture. I took this screenshot of the documentary on Max. The coach is running. He's running fast. It's like Coach Volmicky when my son got his first touchdown back in the day, sitting right over there. I still watch that video once in a while, and there's my son running in for his first ever touchdown for Waukee. And what do I see? Coach Volmicky running down the sidelines cheering for him the whole way because he loves my kid. So when I got to announce his kid's name last year during football games, kind of cool. That's how Coach Morton feels about Ian Wheeler. He loves him. Turns out Ian Wheeler is a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. So is Coach Morton. And why that matters is because Ian Wheeler had a massive injury during the last preseason game, just when it looked like he was going to make the team, much to the surprise of everybody. He tore his ACL against the Chiefs. On the last play, he was going to be out there. The last series, he's going to be out there. He's out for the whole season. He'll be on the injured list for the Bears, and maybe he'll get a chance again next year. But this coach poured into him, loved him as a brother in Christ, said, Ian, you were made for more than just being fast. You were made to be a professional running back. So I want you to learn what you clearly don't know. You've got speed like almost no other running back in the NFL has. But what you don't have is a feel for when a hole opens up. I want to teach you that. I want you to develop that. So even though it looks like there's no hole, when you see these things happening, there's going to be a hole. And when you see that hole start to develop, you blast through it like it's there. Like you've got the faith that it's going to be there. And if you blast through that hole and you make it into the secondary, no one will catch you, Ian. It'll be pay dirt. It'll be a touchdown. Never be lazy, Ian. Work hard. Serve the Lord as you live out your vocation in daily life because you're a child of God and you know it. You're living your life for Jesus Christ. Get in sync. Get in step. Serve the Lord enthusiastically. So Coach Morton is running in this particular scene because Ian Wheeler finally did it. Toward the end of training camp, during a scrimmage, he broke through the greatest defense in the NFL today. I'm exaggerating. He broke through because he learned what Coach Morton was teaching him, that even though it doesn't look like there's a hole, the hole is developing, and it's, by the time you get there, it'll be there. And then you just use what God gave you, and you beat everybody to the end zone. That's what Ian Wheeler's doing right there. He's broken through the first line and the second line and the secondary. It's the last guy who had a chance, and he's given up. And you know what Coach Morton's doing? Woo! Can't even stand on the sidelines. Runs onto the field. Chases Ian Wheeler all the way into the end zone. That's what I'm talking about. That's enthusiasm. I say all that to ask you this. Do you have anything resembling that for Jesus Christ? And if you don't, go back to the cross. And rediscover how amazing God's grace is for you and how essential it is for you and how we should never take it for granted and how it's the greatest gift you'll ever receive. And once you get that and you realize I love other people, you say, I got to figure out a way to connect the dots between God's amazing grace and these people I love who don't know it. Along the way, you'll be like, oh, I found my rhythm. Now I'm living for what I was made for. Now I'm doing what God made me to do. Never be lazy. Work hard. Serve the Lord with enthusiasm. Dive a little deeper into these Greek words for work hard. Spoude, which means speedy. Do it now. No more excuses. There's a ministry fair out there. Stop by. You're not signing your life away like, oh, if I sign this, I'm going to be a Sunday school teacher for the next 28 years. Only if you want to be. It's an invitation to discover what you were made for. Rise up, church. Rise from the dead. Wake up, and Christ will shine his light upon you. Do it speedily. Do it with haste. Run and serve the Lord enthusiastically. The Greek word there is zeontes, which literally means let it bubble out of you with excitement, with joy. You ever notice this in little kids? But I wanted you to show him his enthusiasm for the new toy he got, the little cheapo carpet piano that he's running on, and he's running on with enthusiasm. He's not just going over there. He's like, oh, ding, I'm bored. He's filled with enthusiasm. He's, ah, I got a piano. Woo, bing, 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 bing. He's playing all that. And did you notice that he was perfect rhythm? He's so above average. King David writes in Psalm 51, after he goes through a season of being out of sync with God, of having lost his rhythm, he says, give me back my joy again, God. That's the same David, the Bible says, was a man after God's own heart. That's our theme this year, that we'd be a church after God's own heart, that we'd find God's rhythm for life, that we'd find God's rhythm, that we'd find it, next screen, with enthusiasm. So come to Jesus, get some holy rest every week, fire up your faith, and finally, sync up with a faithful team. Take a look at this 20-second video of an elite, world-class drummer doing the hard work behind the scenes that nobody sees. Practice. Take a look.
This is bar 17 to 21, and it's the same rhythm as bar 13 to 17.
Pretty exciting, huh? Sometimes that's like Bible study or devotions on your own. You're like, well, not the most riveting text today, but it's strengthening you. It's making you better. You're perfecting the gift that God gave to you. You're going deeper into it. You're becoming what God made you to be. Among other things, that guy was made to be a drummer. He and 24 of his best friends are a part of a drum line or drum corps called the Top Secret Drum Corps. They're all from Switzerland. And maybe you never heard of them. I didn't hear of them until this week when I was diving in and saying I wanted an illustration for how God calls us to serve not as individual solo acts, even superstars. You might be able to sing a solo, but when you sing in a choir, the richness, the depth, the inspiration can get even better. One drummer by himself, would you pay to go to a concert where it's one guy on one snare drum? Spin. Woo! That was worth $84 or whatever it is now. I wouldn't. But I'd pay to see this beautiful metaphor of that same drummer and 24 of his friends. A beautiful metaphor of what the Bible says is the body of Christ. We are many parts and we all belong to each other. And when you get in sync humbly with the body of Christ around you and you coordinate your gifts with the people next to you, it's inspiring. Take a look.
Despite their name, it is no secret how good these next performers are. All these guys have normal day jobs, and this is something they do in their time off. Gotta say, it's a pretty impressive hobby.
Pretty cool. It's just a metaphor. I'm not saying God's calling you to learn how to drum, Although, yeah, Keith, thanks for doing that. And I'm glad God called you to learn how to drum, Jason. But we are many parts and we all belong to each other. And so Paul goes on to describe in Romans 12, you can read about it. If your gift is teaching, teach. If it's prophecy, prophecy. If it's kindness, be kind. If it's leadership, do leadership. But stop sitting on the sidelines. Or stop making Christianity a solo sport, something you just do by yourself. We're better together and we're called to coordinate our efforts as a team. Ministry fair is a good first step. Find God's place for you here. Find God's rhythm for you here. It's rally weekend. It's revival Sunday. Come on, church. Let's go! Fire up! Let's go! Stand up. Let's sing a song. Amen.
Thank you so much for tuning in and joining us for service online.
If this is your first time joining us, welcome. We don't think it's any accident that you're here, and we have been praying for you.
To see more of our content, know when we go live, and stay up to date week to week, feel free to subscribe to this channel.
And if you live close by one of our campuses or local sites, we invite you to check us out in person. We would love to meet you. And don't forget to follow us on social media to stay up to date.
See you next week.